Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Well, I hope you all had a nice New Year's and Christmas and all that kind of stuff, and not too tired to face the new year. I want to say thank you, first of all, from behalf of my family, for the nice Christmas gift that you gave to us. We really appreciate that, and so thank you very much for that. Second, there was a number of us that showed up for the prayer week, and I was encouraged from that. I trust that you were too. Prayer, if you saw at the beginning, there was an announcement, prayer is the work, and it is work. I don't know if any of you struggle with your prayer life. I do. It takes a lot of work, but God is uses us, and that's an amazing thing. I just find that incredibly amazing. He is sovereign. And I mean, he is sovereign over everything. And yet he uses us to pray and to change things. That's amazing. So this morning we're going to be looking at this passage that Greg read for us in Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38. And there are just three things that I want us to see here from this, and just find out, what is it that Jesus did, what Jesus felt, and what Jesus instructed? So to begin with then, what did Jesus do? Well, if you go back to chapter 4, verse 23, you will see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says this: Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Now, if you weren't listening carefully to what Greg read, you'd say, wow, that sounds exactly what we read in chapter 9, verse 35. And it is very similar. And, excuse me, the reason why Matthew puts it in there is because Matthew wants us to know that was what Jesus did. That was his ministry. He that was his strategy for doing ministry. And I really see four things that I want us to pick up here of what Jesus did here, and should we say his strategy. And the first thing is just the most obvious there. Jesus was out and among the people. It says that Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages in Galilee. Now, I have no idea how many cities there were, and we really don't know. I've heard Josephus mentions that there could possibly have been a couple million people at that time there. I don't know if that's the case. But Jesus did say something in chapter 8, verse 20. He said, "The foxes and the birds have places to lay their heads each night, but not the Son of Man." And he didn't have a place to lay his head every night because he was on the move, being with people. Jesus was always, if you go read through the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus was always dining with people. And he did it so much that he was criticized by the religious leaders for doing it. He was called a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Matthew was very thankful that he was a friend of tax collectors. And Luke actually records 8 different occasions where Jesus took time to dine with people. And we know from the holidays that table fellowship is an important time. I mean, it's a ton of work, especially often for the wives, because they're the ones that are stuck doing all the food. But it's an excellent time to gather around and to talk and to find out what's going on. And so, yes, Jesus was a good listener. No doubt he was a good listener. But I bet you he was also a good asker of questions. And Jesus, if you go through the Gospels, you read some of the very probing questions that Jesus asked. And so no doubt he was asking what questions to find out what was going on among the people, lives that he was interacting with. And he was on a mission. He came to seek and to save the lost, and the lost didn't know that they were lost, so that's why he had to seek them. And so Jesus was out among the people. Second, though, obviously, Jesus taught in the synagogues. Jesus made teaching a priority. The synagogue was a place where you heard the Word of God. Remember, they did not have Bibles. Most of the people couldn't read. And so if they were going to hear God's Word, the place where they were going to hear God's Word was in the synagogues. Jesus said in John 8:32, "The truth shall set you free." Peter says in his second letter, he says that grace and peace are multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know anybody who doesn't want grace, unmerited favor, and peace. Tranquility that can rule over the turmoil that goes on in everyday life. I'm so thankful we don't live in Washington. Can you imagine the turmoil that's going on over there? But Peter wants us to know, and Jesus wants us to know, that if we want to experience that grace and peace in our lives, if we want to be set free from truth, it comes about from the Word of God. And so this 2019, we talked about Christian living class. Let me encourage you, make it a priority. Go to it. We work hard at trying to make sure that what is being presented in Christian living is truth that can set you free. Is knowledge about Jesus Christ so that you receive grace and peace. And your kids, let me encourage you to make it a priority to send your kids to Sunday school, because we have excellent material that talks about the greatness of God, and that's what's going to help them in this world. And so Jesus focuses on teaching. Thirdly, it says that Jesus went about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. This word literally means someone who is an announcer, someone who is a herald, who makes public proclamation. Jesus, everywhere he went, sometimes it was on a hillside, sometimes it was on a lake, he was taking time to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom is all about sovereign rule of God in man's heart. And the reason why he had to proclaim that is because as he looked around, absolutely every problem that he saw stemmed from man's rebellion against God's rule in his life. Now, that includes sickness. And when I say sickness, I don't necessarily mean, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, but sickness in our lives isn't necessarily caused by our sin. Sometimes it might be. But it's a byproduct of sin in this world. And so Jesus was all about proclaiming the sovereign rule of God, the need for that in people's hearts. And so he went about and he called people to repent and begin submitting to that. And so Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Fourthly, Jesus went about healing. Why did he go about healing? I think there's a couple of reasons why he went about healing. I think one, it truly demonstrated the love of God. You think about if you ever go into a hospital and you see somebody who is sick and really really hurting, what they need often is a touch, and you'll notice that when Jesus healed, that he wasn't afraid of touching people. He would touch people that had leprosy and things like that. And if you, back then, if you were to touch somebody who had leprosy, you became unclean. You immediately became unclean. But amazingly, when Jesus touched people, they became clean. And that demonstrated the love of God. And so I think that was one reason why Jesus healed, is just because He demonstrated people God's love. And oftentimes, one of the reasons why people are leery of Christianity is because they don't understand the love of God. And medical missions often is what breaks down barriers in countries. And people see, oh, wow, those people care for the untouchables. I want to know more about those people, and I want to know about their God. Well, I think the second reason, though, is it validated Jesus' message. He said, I'm the king. I'm the king. Well, if he was the king, he needed to show that he had power over the ultimate enemy, which is death. And so Jesus demonstrated by his healing and raising people from the dead what ultimately the kingdom of God will look like. And so, as brothers and sisters, all of us who we got another year older and another year of creaking whatever, a day is coming when we will not take those creaking bones into the next world. It will be a world that will be free of sickness and death. And so Jesus was giving a foretaste of what that kingdom would ultimately look like. Well, second, what Jesus felt. We are told that as Jesus traveled, that he felt compassion. Everywhere he went, he saw people oppressed by sin. Some of it might have been their own sin that they were making. Some of it, obviously, they were suffering because of the sin of others. It didn't mean that they didn't have sin of their own, but that wasn't maybe the reason why they were suffering. And Jesus felt compassion for these people. This word compassion here, it simply means it's a deep emotion. It's the bowels. So you know it's like when your bowels are upset, you know it's deep. And so this is a deep emotion that motivates one to helpful action on behalf of someone else. And the gospel records Jesus always being compassionate. It's interesting, his compassion sometimes drove him to heal the sick. Sometimes it drove him to giving sight to the blind. Sometimes it was raising a woman's only son from the dead, Luke 7:13, feeding the 5,000. Jesus was doing these things because he felt compassion. And he sees these people as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, we don't understand sheep because the sheep that we mainly see today, big farms, they're mostly driven, but sheep are one of those domesticated animals that need care. And without care, they won't survive. And so Jesus, as he looked at these people, he saw that these people were harassed and they were helpless and they had no one to care for them. And so Jesus was compassionate. In Luke records for us shortly before Jesus went to the cross, he cried over the city of Jerusalem. His compassion led him to cry as he saw what was coming for these people who would not respond to him as their Messiah. And so Jesus was, his compassion motivated him to do something. But compassion is, it's an action word. We have a word for people who can see something and not be moved. And we call them, they're compassionless. And so the root of Jesus' compassion for people, as I said, was that they were harassed and helpless. He saw the fact that sin had wrecked their lives. And, you know, as we look around society today, our society is trying to go as fast as it can away from any Christian moorings that are there. And the faster we go away, the more pain that we see that is going on in our society. And we're no longer shocked by the shootings in schools and the kids that are beaten. We're not shocked by that stuff anymore. We almost expect it. And Jesus was compassionate. And as believers, Paul tells us in Colossians, he tells us that there's a number of behaviors that we are supposed to take off or put off, should I say, and then there's a number of behaviors that we are to put on. And one of those behaviors is, the first one he mentions, is compassion. And I think as believers, it is a struggle to not become compassionless in the needs around us. And it's a, I think that we can err one of two ways. We can either isolate ourselves, and it's very easy to isolate ourselves. We can order absolutely everything online so we don't have to interact with people. We have internet, we have TV, gives us plenty of entertainment 24 hours a day, and our neighbors do the same. And so it's very easy to isolate ourselves, and the more we isolate ourselves, the more compassionless we can become. But I think the other way is to go to the other opposite extreme, and that is to see every need as a need that I have to meet. And it's very interesting as you read through the Gospels, there was times where Jesus, in the midst, snuck away and he went to spend time with his Father. And so one of the most important things that we can do to keep our hearts from growing compassionless is that daily time in the Word and just trying to make sure that we find our happiness and joy in Him so that we are then prepared to serve others. Well, thirdly, then what Jesus instructed. The very first thing that Jesus did in His instruction to them was he wanted to draw their attention to the problem. And this is not Dave, I'm sorry that Naomi wasn't here this morning. This is not Naomi saying we need more Sunday school teachers, okay? This was Jesus, the sovereign king, the Lord of the universe, who is saying, there's a harvest here, and it is, I need helpers, and it is great. And so Jesus was trying to draw their attention, the disciples' attention, to wake them up to the great harvest that was going on around them. As you read through the Gospels, sometimes you see that the disciples were sometimes just plainly oblivious to the spiritual needs that were going on around others. And I'm not saying that Jesus is not sovereign here, but what I'm saying here is that Jesus is the one who is drawing, he's trying to get his disciples' attention to the fact that there's a harvest going on here. He didn't just kind of like, I can do this all myself. No, he didn't. And there's a reason for why he didn't. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But he wanted to awaken them to know that there was a harvest going on around them. Second thing that Jesus did is that Jesus calls them to pray. He asks them to send workers, to send laborers. Why did Jesus, instead of saying, okay, there's a harvest, get at it, why did he instruct them to pray? And I think there's two main reasons why Jesus instructed them to pray. First of all, I think, not here, but Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, that God is the one who has to open blind eyes to see the glory of Christ. And so I think Jesus is wanting them, calling them to prayer, is he's wanting them to recognize that harvest work takes dependence on him. God is the one that must do the work. And so there is a need for them to be dependent on them. Second, though, he calls them to pray to send laborers to reach them. And he calls them to send laborers to reach them because Jesus knows that unless laborers are sent out that are actually, should we say, burdened, laborers are sent out with a desire to reach them, the harvest will wear people out. And so Jesus prays and asks his disciples to pray to send out workers here. And chapter 9, verse 38, that word send out, literally, it's drive out or expel. And so Jesus wants people to do that. And I think Jesus recognizes that it's when you begin to pray for people that your eyes become opened to seeing their lostness and their need of Christ. I titled my message this morning, Blessing Northfield and Blessing Dundas, because really that's what we want to see happen. We recognize that the best thing that could happen here in Northfield or Dundas, or should we say where you work, if you don't live in Northfield, Dundas, your community, the best thing that could happen where you work or where you live is for people to come to know the love of Christ for themselves and ultimately receive the best blessing possible. So this morning, I've prepared a bookmarker. I've asked Joe and Jeff to pass one out. We want to give you one. Let me just say up front, first of all, that this bookmarker that you are receiving is nothing more than just a tool. It's a tool to help you to remember to pray. If you don't need a reminder to pray, you don't need to use it. I personally find it very easy to have a list, because a list keeps me from being distracted. And the blanks here are, you see on the one side where it says the bless, the blanks there are just a place for you to write down some people that that God has placed under your nose that where the harvest is needed. Now, that might be your neighborhood, it might be your place of work, it might be somebody, if you just work amongst Christians, it might be the Quick Trip teller where you, or the bank teller wherever you might get your gas. But it begins by praying. It begins by praying for God to send out workers to the harvest, those people that you list on your list. It begins by asking God to send out harvest workers to reach them. And it begins by praying for that, that God would thrust out harvest workers who have a love for those people and have a desire to show them compassion and to share the message of truth with them. And underneath it, there are some verses that you can pray for. You'll see, pray that they would call out to God. Pray that they would be drawn to God's truth. And we can pray for those people that God would open their eyes so that they might see the truth that is there. And on the back side, you will see that there are some important things that we can be watching for as God does a work in those people's lives. First of all, we can listen with care when we're around them. We can begin to ask them questions. Some people call it small talk. I would rather call it important talk, as we find out what it is that motivates them, you know, asking questions such as, what do they do? If you don't know what they do for a living, their family, things that are important to them. All of those things, as you listen carefully, gives you a window into what God is doing in their hearts as you are praying for God to send harvest workers to them. Eating together, as you pray, God might open up a door to eat together. And as you eat or have coffee together, it's just a time where, once again, you can begin to get to know them. You can begin to express your love to them. Serve in love. It's just simply putting action to your concern for them. And so you can pray that God would send people who would serve them in love. God would send harvest workers who would serve them in love. And finally, share your story. Now, share your story is last on this list. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it last. But sometimes people, if you don't know them very well, they want to know that you care about them. And so sharing your story is last, but sharing your story is there, because unless people hear the good news, they can't respond to it. And as I said, it is a bookmarker. It's only a tool. The important thing for us to be doing is being praying. Praying that God would bless Northfield. Praying that God would bless Dundas. Praying that God would bless our workplaces or our communities. And that He would send out harvest workers so that as the people respond to God's word, they can be blessed. And what is very interesting here is in chapter 10, we see Jesus calling to Him His 12 disciples, gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And he sent them out, go nowhere except to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 6. We don't know how much time took place between Jesus' call to the disciples to pray in chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, and chapter 10, when Jesus instructed his disciples to go out. But Jesus knew that unless their hearts were changed so that they saw the need for harvest workers and they saw the harvest themselves, the harvest would never be reached. And so may we pray that God would do a work of blessing here in Northfield, Dundas. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fact that you have done a saving work in my life and in the lives of maybe everybody here this morning. Somebody, could have been our parents, it could have been somebody else that came along and they blessed us by sharing the gospel with us. And Father, we are very much aware that all around us it is dark, and it is getting darker year by year by the fact that as a nation we are choosing to go away from your have anything to do with you. And Lord, what it increases is the harvest that is around us. And Father, may we be people who pray for harvest workers to go out to the harvest. And Father, as we pray, may we have ears that are open to being sent also, should you choose to use us to do that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.